Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5. And let's stand as we read in Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 10 to 14. I'll read verse 10, then you read verse 11, and so on until we finish at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 10 to 14. All right? The little one is looking, it's a lost sheep. That is there. She heard your voice. Right? Okay, Hebrews 5, verse 10. I'll read verse 10. Oh, are you okay? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. I'm sure the early church had these problems as well. But... Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. I'll read verse 10, you read verse 11, so on until verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10 reads for us, called of God and high priest, after that order of Melchizedek, verse 11. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13. Let's read together, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those that are of right senses exercise some both good and evil. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray and commit, Lord, this time into your hands as we explore your word. But more than anything, Lord, we don't just want to hear our voice, we want to hear the voice of God speaking in his word to us in our hearts. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to impress these words on all of us as believers in Christ Jesus. And Father, our lives will grow in the direction you want us to grow. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right. The Bible says in verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We're preaching about Melchizedek today, all right, for the first part. Okay, there are two mentions in the Old Testament and one here in the book of Hebrews of this person called Melchizedek. How many of you have heard of his name? I think some have, right? How many of you can spell his name without looking? Okay. This is a strange and mysterious character in the Old Testament. According to the Bible, he is the king of Salem, okay, which is Jerusalem, whom Abraham met after defeating the five kings. And also, Abraham actually gave tithes to this person. Paul was using Melchizedek to teach the Jews that Judaism, or the Jewish religion that the Jewish people were hanging on to, is subjected to this priest. Okay, Melchizedek as the priest, but Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish nation, yes, right? From Abraham came Isaac, Jacob, and so on, and then came Israel. And within Israel was the 12 sons, and the whole Levitical law and the whole Mosaic system was in Abraham. Okay, so think of two parts. One is Abraham and the Jewish nation. Melchizedek is a totally separate character. All right, totally separate character. Paul says, if the whole Mosaic system in Abraham had to give tithes to Melchizedek, who is greater, Melchizedek or Abraham? Who's greater, Melchizedek or Abraham? Melchizedek, right? Because Abraham and the whole Mosaic law had to give tithes to, or give an offering to Melchizedek. Paul uses this to prove to the Jews that the Lord Jesus Christ was made after the order of Melchizedek was greater than the Jewish law. Does it make sense? All right? Did the Jews understand this? No. The Jews didn't understand this. Okay? They had a problem with that. Did they believe this teaching clearly from the scriptures? No. Paul goes on to say in Hebrews 5 verse 10, court of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and then he stopped, like a parenthesis in all his explanation. He said, of whom we have many things to say. We have many things to say about Melchizedek. And some of the things had to be uttered. In other words, the had to be uttered means, it doesn't mean that, I cannot tell you. It means, very hard to explain to you. Why? Seeing you are dull of hearing? Seeing you are dull of hearing? There was this man, his name is Dr. Howard Hendricks. Some of you may know him. There was a little girl who, he was sharing a test. There was a little girl who asked his father, told his father, she promised his father, Father, I know you're going off to work, but you know what, by the time you come back, you're going on a trip. So when you come back, I assure you, I promise you I will grow. I promise you I will grow, okay? And so the dad went off, and the moment she stepped back, he came back on the aeroplane, all right? The girl greeted him, Daddy, come on quick, see how much I've grown. And so after that, Daddy went home, she went with the little girl, and the little girl measured, see, I've grown a full millimeter, all right, a full millimeter, all right? And of course, he was so happy because she kept a promise, you know, of growing, you know. And then after everything was settled down, she asked a question of the dad. Daddy, can you tell me something? Why do big people stop growing? Why do big people stop growing? And then his daddy was looking at her. Actually, they don't stop growing up. They start growing out. Okay? Agree? They don't grow up anymore. They start growing out. You know? Dr. Howard Hendricks actually used this as a platform and asked a serious question. Why, sometimes as Christians for many years, we actually can stop growing? We can actually stop growing. Because the Bible says spiritually we are to continue to grow in grace. Amen? As Christians, we are to grow. God, through this passage in Hebrews 5, was highlighting a very serious flaw in the lives of the Jews. They have been Jewish. They know the Bible. They know the Old Testament law like the back of their hand. They need to know the Mosaic law. Every Jewish young man, by the age of 12, they need to know and be able to recite the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law. And still, they are unable to understand Jesus Christ. And Paul actually, God actually goes on to say that they were babies and they were immature because they were not able to handle the important teachings of the Word of God. And they were, this is important, holding on to their old ways and beliefs. And now God wants us to move towards perfection and growth. But the Jews were babies, they were immature. Paul, in expounding the comparison between Melchizedek and the Lord Jesus Christ, stops here and explains to the Hebrew Christians the condition of their spiritual life. And he says that you are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. I want us to get a sense of what Paul was saying here. Paul was not criticizing them. Paul was not putting them down. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. This thought came to me as I was trying to get a sense of what Paul was trying to do. But in Galatians 4:19, when Paul stopped there and dealt with a certain spiritual condition of the heart of these Jewish people, he did it with a heart of compassion and concern. Okay, in Galatians 4:19, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. When Paul stopped and said, I want to explain to you everything about Melchizedek, but you are dull of hearing. After we'll go through, you are dull of hearing. Means you don't understand what I'm saying. When Paul was stopping and telling the Jews the condition of their spiritual life, he was saying it with a heart of concern. Just as a father or a mother is concerned if the child is not growing in the right way, yes? If the child is not eating properly, if the child is not walking when they're supposed to walk, we have parents in our church, and they know our children don't eat properly. They don't. And they're concerned why the children don't grow. And so they give medicine, they give different... Why? They're concerned for the growth, right? Paul is just having that heart, and he says this in verse 19, "My little children whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." I say that this is my pastor's heart for every single Christian. If Christ, if personally I don't see the image of Christ imprinted in your life, I'll still be praying and preaching it. And by God's grace, parents, you need to see Christ in your children. Otherwise, your work is not done. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Remember, our goal as a Christian is to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Children, can I encourage you, cooperate with your parents as they teach you the Word of God. Because that is their heart. They want every... parents' heart, I believe the youth leaders, the Sunday school, they want Christ to be formed in them. Parents, if there's any lack of that desire, you need to pray that God build that desire. God, help Christ to be formed in my young child who has just accepted Christ. That was Paul's heart. He was telling these Jews, look, I want to teach you. I want to give you the stronger meat, but you cannot take your dull of hearing. Questions we need to ask ourselves today, for today's message. Am I an immature believer or am I growing in Christ? It is important to note that maturity is in the Christian life is not based on age. It's not how old you are. I say again, your maturity as a Christian is not determined by how old in it. Doesn't mean a person who is 60 years old is spiritually stronger than a person who is 10 years old. Okay? There was one little boy in the 17th century, I read this interesting, whose father was a pastor. Okay, his father was a pastor in the 17th century, so it's nothing to do with my family. Okay, father was a pastor, and the grandfather was also a pastor. So this, and during the time, the father would be praying for certain church members because so-and-so has backslided and all that. And there was one particular church member who has backslided. You know, he would go to the taverns, he would drink and things like that. And this five-year-old who will be, he's not saved yet, but you know, as he hears the father's prayer, one day he decided to do something about it. He went to the local tavern where he knew he will find this man who was backslider. And then he was charging to the pub, and the man, of course, the bouncer, I don't know whether they had bouncers during that time. Those people in the tavern, the bar, so for them to drink alcohol, say, "What is this little boy doing here? Get him out, you know, he's not supposed to be here." But this boy said, "Oh, go in, I just want to talk to this man." And then, of course, they called the man came out and was drinking. And this five-year-old looked this backslided man, about 40, and said, "You know that you are breaking the heart of your pastor by being here? How can you do that?" And of course, he left after that. You know, that five-year-old was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. At the age of 5, he said, "You are breaking the heart of your pastor by being here. Did you know that?" Thank God, the man came back to Christ, you know, after that. Maturity in Christ is not dependent on how old you are. And I want us to understand this because sometimes when we grow up to a certain age, we feel that no one can tell us what to do. As pastor, you can tell me what to do based on God's word. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Amen? And I hope we will have that understanding that what we think our philosophy must be based on the scripture. So it's important to know maturity is not based on age. It's based on your relationship with God and your growth in Christ. This message today is for the following groups of people, people who have been Christians a long time. Perhaps it's time to evaluate if we are growing or we are stunted in our growth as Christians. Number two group, people who just have been saved, to understand what is the condition of immaturity in the Christian life and what we are to do to move away from this. Number three, and for us to take heed and grow, because the book of Hebrews is a book of warning. Paul was writing it to the Jews who knew the word. And he said, if you will not accept Christ as your Savior, there is no other sacrifice for sin. Hebrews chapter 10 is an epistle of warning. And the question we need, are we immature Christians? Are we still babes in Christ? So based on this passage in Hebrews 5, I want to highlight some indicators of an immature Christian. What are some evidences that we can see, that we can evaluate ourselves based on God's word, whether or not we are immature Christian? Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Paul says, of whom we have many things to say and heart to be uttered. Okay. Just in case there are some people whose in their minds the whole message will say, Rajani, I don't believe Paul wrote this. I want to settle that. I believe that Paul wrote it for a few reasons. Okay, one, just to highlight this as an aside, okay? The book of Hebrews contained a lot of Jewish metaphors, a lot of Jewish practices. And we know that Paul was a Hebrew Pharisee. He was very well-versed in the Judaistic teachings, okay? And he was able to compare it, okay? Number two, the Jews didn't like Paul. So for Paul to want to teach them, you notice that Paul didn't introduce himself at the beginning as he would in the other epistles, okay? One final reason why I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, let's turn to the last chapter of Hebrews, chapter 13. Paul included one ending which he always include in every one of his epistles. Okay, this was, I learned this about 20 years ago. It was really encouraging. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 25. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 25. The Bible says, grace be with you all. If you read all the other epistles by Jude, by the other apostles, like Peter, you will never find this. But all of Paul's epistles end with grace be unto you. So that's why there's that seems to be some internal evidence that it was Paul. But anyway, hopefully that helps you to understand a little bit why I say it's Paul. All right? But let's turn back to Hebrews 5:11 again. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The first indicator of an immature Christian is dull of hearing. Dull of hearing, okay? What does dull of hearing mean in the Bible? It refers to two things in the Greek. Number one, it means that person is slow of understanding. Slow to understand, okay? That means basically he hears what is said, but does not understand what is said. Okay? It can be likened, perhaps, to a disinterested student. It can be likened to a careless worker, or it can be likened to a distracted colleague. When you give, you know, have you talked to people and give them instructions, and then after that, I never hear. But you know, you told it. Brother Rolando is smiling. He's in charge of some group of people. Sometimes you give instructions. Hey, I told you to do what? See, I never hear. Oh, really? That's dull of hearing, slow. Okay. The question we have: why are people slow to understand? Why are Christians slow to understand? Look at Matthew chapter 13. I believe it's actually printed there. Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have, it's okay, I'll just read. In another passage in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 to 15, Jesus said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, shall not understand. Why? Because this people's heart is waxed gross. Not gross, different, gross. Wax gross means in their heart there is a layer of fat. Okay? If you want to tickle me, it's a bit hard. It's not trying to tickle. It's like he was jumping everywhere, right? But you try to tickle me, you may not get to me because I've got a layer of fat. I'm not so sensitive, okay? But God says that these people don't hear God's word. Why? There's a layer of fat. The word wax gross means there's a layer of fat on the heart so that the word of God cannot get in. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. The reason why they don't hear is because of unbelief. They don't believe what they're hearing. Is it true that sometimes when someone shares something with you and you're very quick to try to reprove them, you're not even listening to what they're saying? You don't believe what they're saying. Is this our attitude with the Word of God? If you are, then you're an immature Christian because you're slow to understand. Proverbs 17:16, the Bible says, "Whereof is there a price in the fool hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it?" You know what Solomon is saying? You know, a fool will never put prices on wisdom. You know why? Not because he don't believe in it. No, actually, Solomon is saying, you ask him what's the value of wisdom, and say, I don't care. There's no price. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. Whereof is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? Christians, or if you're a Christian today and come here, you have no heart for the word of God, there's something wrong with that heart. Either you're an immature Christian or God has not touched you in your heart. And that's very important because Paul was talking to these kind of people and he was concerned that some people were hearing the word of God. They're dull of hearing. They're slow to understand. One, number two, the dull of hearing also means the listening is lifeless. Dull of hearing, sluggish. Sluggish. That means that there is no activity as a result of the hearing. The Christian comes to church, hears the word, leaves. Their life is exactly the same. As a pastor, that's one of my most scary experiences, that when people hear the God's word again and again, and there is no change in their lives, there is no change in their thinking, there is no change in their habits, there is no change, and they will hold on to their lives. That's being dull of hearing. The Christian who reads the word of God and he has no bearing on his life, I dare say many of us read the Bible. The question is, does it affect you? Does it help you to change small decisions in your life along the way? If it doesn't, and you find no change over the next last 1 month or 2 months, that you're not doing things differently because God's word is showing it to you, there is something wrong with that interaction. You're dull of hearing. James chapter 2, verse 27, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Point number one, an immature Christian is dull of hearing. Are you without understanding of the word today? Is your listening lifeless? That there is no action as a result of what you hear? Number one. Look at verse number 12 for point number two. Hebrews 5:12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." Number two, an immature Christian need people to teach them the basics again. The basics again. Okay? "Each Christian, according to this verse, must grow to a point that he can actually explain the truth to someone else. That means that we should be able to share with someone else about salvation, sin, why we're in the church, baptism, helping and giving, and why we're taking the Lord's Supper, why we come and worship the Lord on Sundays. These are the basic things of the Christian life. Are you able to do that? Are you able to do that? Included in this rebuke is Paul indicates that it is God's will that we need to grow to a point that we can explain the truth to someone else. Okay, listen to this. It doesn't mean you become a teacher. It doesn't. Well, it's good if you can move on and teach Sunday school or youth and all that. In fact, every man, I think all those who have at least 3 to 5 years experience in the Christian life should begin to teach the young man the word of God. But Paul is not referring to that. He's saying this, that you should be able to come to a place you can explain the Christian faith to someone else. Okay? And may I say, from now on, it's an expectation, because sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes in evangelistic meetings, I only target a few people to share, which I won't anymore, because all of us have been Christians for many years. And all of us, if you're sitting beside someone who's not saved, ought to be able to open your eyes during the invitation and say, "Have you trusted Christ?" You know, that was what happened to me when I was in, long ago, Emmanuel Baptist Fellowship. You know, when they preach, the Christians will close their eyes and pray, but when the invitation is given and they know someone beside them is not saved, you know what they will do? They open their eyes and speak to the person and say, "Have you trusted Christ?" The Christians themselves in the pew will speak to the person beside. I think that's a good habit we need to cultivate, because all of us as Christians must be able to explain our faith to someone else. Amen?
Amen.
We must be able to explain our faith to someone else. That's what Paul is saying. For the time you ought to be teachers, the time you ought to be able to explain the faith to someone else,
You have someone to teach you again. You got to go through again. Not some people say, any questions, Pastor? I want to switch on my handphone next time. You need a verse, Pastor. No, you. We got to get past that already. And I'm thankful many of the men in FBI, many of the ladies have learned the word of God. Apply it. You know, use it on Sunday. Speak to someone about Christ. You know, encourage that person with the word of God. Next week is the evangelistic meeting. Don't be surprised if I say so and so. You beside this person, you put out his hand. I ask you to be. Okay, you need to let me know whether you're comfortable. I don't want to push you. But I think, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Because we are in the work of God together. I may be here, but sometimes you can reach that person where I can't. And you need, as a Christian, to be able to share your faith with someone else. If, let's say, I ask you today, Alison, there's a lady that come in, maybe the 17-year-old, she's not safe. We must be prepared to be able to bring the lady aside and share the word of God with that person. Okay? I hope I'm not stressing you. I learned something about stress from Brother Desmond yesterday at the youth, talking about how... what's that again? The stress... The plants. What plant is that? It's a rare... A tiger orchid. He was saying that he had this experience in Botanical Garden. Someone was... he was interviewing someone and someone was explaining to him this is a very rare plant called a tiger orchid in the Botanical Gardens. And he was asking Desmond about... what is the growth ingredient, right? Something along those lines. What causes this plant to grow? And this guy just said stress. They actually withdraw things from the plant and stress it so that they will grow. And let's put it this way. Nature teaches us, without stress, there's no growth. You know how children grow? Now Sharon begins to walk. When she was 1-2 months, she can't walk. It's because of the stress. And it is said in biology, when the bone starts to rub against each other, when you are younger, not older. Older means your cartilage all get worn out. That's different. After 20, they say go now, you. That's different. But when you are younger, do you know a lot of your bones are actually soft cartilage? A lot of the bones are soft cartilage. Okay? So, and the healing is faster. But what happens is that what you call the epiphyseal, the plates between the bone, the more they rub against each other or hit each other, it actually stimulates growth. And that's why sometimes you find children when they walk like that, then after a while they begin to straighten their legs because of that stress. Okay? And of course, but you cannot overstress it, like for example, the heavy burden on the child, you can't. But the child can take its own weight. Stress helps us to grow. Christians, we need stress to help us to grow. And you know what? Simple things I did. We must be ready to share with someone the gospel. It's a simple thing. If you have been a Christian for 2 days, you can at least share your testimony, right? Can you share your testimony? Okay, can I challenge all of you? Go home this week. I may just call on you to share your testimony with someone. Not publicly, but write down how you got saved. And perhaps in your heart, you say, Lord, if there's someone beside me and not a Christian, give me the grace to teach someone and at least to share your testimony. Because God says we shall be witnesses. God, we don't have to be a Bible scholar to share the word. We just have to be a Christian to share what happened to our hearts. Okay? An immature Christian need people to teach them the basics again, and hopefully we won't need to do that. Alright? That's point number 2. Let's move on in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the second part. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. An immature Christian cannot handle strong meat. As I met some of the young mothers and asked, do you have milk bottle? I wanted to be a milk bottle of here. Okay. When can a baby eat solids? When can a baby eat solids? Huh? Sorry? About 5 months, yeah? Maybe what period? That kind of things, right? Here the Bible talks about meat and milk teachings. I've never really thought of that, but meat and milk teachings. Meat here refers to the strong teachings of the Bible, okay? But there's also milk teachings of the Bible. I'll give you some examples of milk teachings. And I'm convinced that for different Christians at different levels in their faith, some may still be milk teachings and some may be meat teachings. Okay? Examples of milk teachings of the Bible. Milk, generally, when they children, when they drink milk, generally, they drink milk because it's easily absorbed, right, into the body, easily received. There's no resistance, okay? So milk teachings of the Bible, we think about teachings like the love of God. We all love the love of God, amen? We all love the peace of God with us, amen? We all love the grace of God, all right? We all love that God is all the time with us, and why we, amen, we weep and thank God, wow, God is with me. The teaching is easily absorbed. And then many of us use this in our lives. We will live the grace of God. We will live and will lead us and guide us with that. These are the milk teachings. God's care. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, God, you are my provider. We like the milk teachings of the word. You know what are meat teachings of the word? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's a meat teaching. And then we start to eat. Oh, wow, this one a bit tough. Huh? The beef not well cooked. Forsake all that you have and come and follow me. Give up your pet sins and follow Christ. Surrender all. Giving up is oftentimes a hard teaching. Go to the mission field. Give up the computer games because it's taking away too much time from what is more important. Meet teachings of the word. You know, as I was preparing this message from Tuesday onwards, I realized that hopefully it will help us to understand where we are at in our spiritual growth. Are you able to take the meat teachings of the word? Because the Bible says here, an immature Christian cannot handle strong meat. The strong meat teachings of the word of God. Some of you, baptism is a stumbling block. Joining the church is a stumbling block. Trusting Christ as Savior is a stumbling block. Why? Because to you is meat. To another person, surrendering all is milk. It's part and parcel of their life already. But God may be saying, you need to give up this. That becomes a meat to them. Does that make sense? It's easy to come to church. You know, Satan comes to church too? To disrupt, to destroy, to disturb you. It's easy to come to church, give a few dollars in the offering, not a few, but give your offerings. It's easy to serve when it's convenient, and within our appointments and our time schedule. It's easy to be friends with those who will scratch your back. It's hard to be baptized because it requires commitment. You know, when Peter told the Jews in Acts chapter 2, after he preached a whole sermon, the Jews, the Bible says, were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what Peter says? Repent and be baptized. To the Jews, baptism is a renunciation. It's a complete 180 degree turnaround from the Jewish relationships with the rabbis and the synagogues, the Pharisees. Baptism was an all or nothing principle. If I'm a Christian, when I get baptized, I identify myself with this Galilean prophet who is the Son of God. I'm willing to follow him now. And many of the Jewish believers lost their jobs. Which is a sad thing because I think recently I was reading in some countries of this world, many Christians even today are unable to get a stable job simply because they are Christians in some countries of this world. But you know what? They would rather be a Christian than get a job and honor God. Some of these are hard teachings of the Bible, and if you cannot handle it, God calls you an immature Christian. That's what the Bible says. It is still, by the way, it is still God's grace to keep us going by giving us milk, amen? He still feeds us. He still encourages us. so that we can still be nourished. But you know what? God wants us to grow. Can you imagine a pastor? I wanted to bring a milk bottle. I should have brought it. I just milk big milk. And I wanted to have a bottle of milk here. And then, how would I like, Louisa, what do you think pastor looks like with a bottle of milk? She's just smiling. We all know. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Uncle Roland with a milk bottle? You know, when he was 2 months, that would be cute, right? But not at 60 years old. And why is it that as Christians, we are still holding on to our milk bottles? Generally, we teach in development, by 3 years old, it should be off milk bottle. Would you agree with that? By milk, 3 years old? Some people may be earlier, okay? How many of you had milk bottles past 6 years old? Don't put out your hand. 7 years old? How many of you at 12 years old still got milk bottle? Please, our parents, we cannot allow them past a certain age because it's a reflection of immaturity. It actually affects also the formation of your teeth and your oral cavity. Okay? So that's something for you to take note of. Christians, are you still a milk bottle believer today? We need to grow up. We need to be able to handle strong milk. We need to say, I'm thank God for the men who preach. You know, some of the men that preach, some of the truth are hard truth, meat truth. But are we able to accept that and say, God, if that's your word, give me grace to obey that? We need to move on. In Hebrews 5:13, are you an immature Christian? An immature Christian cannot handle strong meat. Next point, in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The next point, an immature Christian is ignorant of the word. The word unskillful means ignorant of. Unable to use it, why? Don't know where to find. Ignorant of. And an immature Christian is ignorant of the word. The word skillful means unfamiliar. So a Christian who is always only talking about the milk issues of the Bible is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? Because the Bible says he's a babe. He's a baby in Christ. He is a baby in Christ. And that's something that sometimes, wow, it just blows me away because, you know, there are some Christians who always talk, oh, God is so good. Oh, God is always blessing my life. Oh, God is always so patient. Oh, God. Those are the milk teachings of the word. I'm not saying that. Paul actually says, we will do it if we have time. The basic teachings. And I'm not discounting that as important. But you know, in your Christian life, all you talk about is God's grace. You need to move on to being a soldier as well. You need to move on to being someone who will do something for Jesus Christ to grow. And then you will find that the grace that God gives to a little child at home is a different grace when you're fighting on the battlefield. Would you agree with that? You require a lot more of zeal as you get discouraged more and you need the kind of grace. But whereas as a little child, you just need simple grace to just walk and do the basic things of the Bible. Does that make sense? And as you grow in Christ, the Word of God ought to be more alive to you, ought to be more applicable to you. You know the sad thing? Many older Christians read the Bible and say, I've read it before. But it don't seem to touch you. If the Word of God doesn't affect you, there's something wrong. If you're an older Christian and understand more, it should cause you to think more on what God wants. To Him, more is given, more is required. I say this without apology. If you have been a Christian for many years, you cannot remain where you are. There is something wrong with your Christian life if you cannot get past where you're at now. If your life is not reflective of the teachings of the Word of God in terms of your or different areas of your life, you need to be more in the Word. When we are unfamiliar with the Word of God, the Bible calls us babies in Christ. That's what the Bible says. For everyone that uses milk is unfamiliar in the Word of righteousness because he is a babe. A babe cannot even walk. You know, when Paul says that, you know what he was doing? He was provoking the Jews to wake up. You have the word. That's why in Hebrews 10, provoking one another, the word provoke literally means to irritate one another to love and to good works. If you are irritated today with me, I've done my job. Because God says, I need to provoke you. You know what Paul says? You're a baby in Christ if you don't know the word of God. We don't live life by our own philosophies. We all live life by God's word. Amen? If you are a Christian, you live life by God's words plainly. Because one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, He's not going to ask you your philosophy. He's going to ask you, how did you behave in this way? Why? Where did you get the teaching from? Oh, I got it from Stephen Covey. Wrong, man. Base it on your word. God's word. Okay? Those of us who are older in the faith, let me ask you, would you be able to explain Melchizedek? Or would you be able to understand Melchizedek? Melchizedek is one of the meatier doctrines of the scriptures. It's just about a mysterious figure that Paul uses. And if we understand it, we understand what Paul was trying to explain to the Jews. But some of us haven't even heard of Melchizedek. Some cannot even spell. Of course, if you're a young Christian, you need to read out about it and you need to learn the word of God regarding it. Let me ask you, are we saved by the blood of Christ or the death of Christ? Okay, for those who believe that we are saved by the death of Christ, put out your hand. We are saved by the death of Christ. We are saved by the death of Christ. Okay, there's some. How many of you believe we are saved by the blood of Christ? Put out your hand. We need to be clear, right? You see, we need to be able to discern between the two. We are saved surely only by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We cannot be general anymore. You know why? Can I warn you about this? There's a teaching that is going on that we are saved by the death of Christ. Okay, you need to be very careful. The Bible is very clear. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay, it's not about being general anymore. You have to be clearly, incisively know God's word because your faith depends on it. Some of you are going to be led astray by false doctrine because you are immature and you are ignorant of what God says. You know why we have FBI, we have things, we have... Why? Because God's word strengthens us. Some people still... Perhaps you have never thought about this before. The death and the blood is a serious issue, because if you believe that you can be saved by the death and not the blood, of course people try to cover it up or try to explain it away. Jesus Christ is very clear. He shed His precious blood to wash away our sins. That's what the Bible teaches. We need to be clear. We need to know. Okay? An immature Christian is ignorant of the word. Let's turn to Matthew 22. I'll give you another reason why we need to know the word. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse 29. Okay. This was a set to seize, the Sadducees. In verse 23 first, 22, 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And once you die, you go to the grave. Full stop. End of story. Is there a resurrection? Is there going to be a resurrection? Is there going to be a resurrection? Yes, there's going to be a resurrection because God said it. But these people didn't believe. Look at verse 29. Jesus said this of the Sadducees. You do err. You do move in the wrong direction. You do have error in your thinking and your teaching. Why? Not knowing the scriptures. Can I apply this to our lives? You know why some of our lives are messed up? Some of life are all over the place without direction. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Do you realize God has principles for your money? Do you know God has principles for how you live your family life? Do you know God has principles how you teach your children? Do you know God has principles how you conduct your family? How different people in the family are supposed to behave? Do you realize God has even principles how you control ourselves? Of our relationships with people. Do you realize God has says that even being yoked together non-believers is a sin? Do you realize God has this? You know why we still mess up? Because Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Paul's heart is for the people. I travail in Christ, aren't you? In birth, aren't you Christ reform in you? You know, Paul says, look, Don't be immature anymore. You know, we have electronic. Some of you flip to the Bible faster than me because you just press. Last time, you know, some of these game shows, it's a dial in, you know, and I'll be the first one to dial in and get something. So I tried to dial in 1981. I pick up the phone, then I... Remember those things? Then I went, how come I cannot get... Then I went to ask my friend, of course, how you going to do? People got the touch phone already faster. You know, some of us are still... You know, some of us can access God's word faster than me now because I have to turn. But all you have to do, Christians, it's not about how strong or fast your electronic device and the word of God is. It's how quick it gets absorbed into your system. How quick you say, yes, Lord, this is your word. Are you a... You know, one way to get out of a mess in our lives? Start getting back to the word. Obeying it. Not just reading it. Reading the Bible can make you a Bible scholar, but prayerful application makes you a mature Christian. I say again, you can read the Bible, you can go through FBI 27 times, but if you don't apply the Bible, it is just a book in the shelf that you use for reference whenever I feel like it. The Bible ought to be integrated into your whole life and thinking. It must be part and parcel. Otherwise, you... immature Christian according to the word of God. Hebrews 5:14, the last point. An immature Christian, in verse 14, does not exercise his faith. You look at verse 14, the Bible says, but strong meat belongeth to them, they are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I was talking to a man of God one time, and he told me one thing. Rajani, those who don't serve in church is a baby in Christ. So I personally, at that time, when I thought he was a little bit harsh. They may have other reasons, which can be true. They may be sick and whatever. They may have different reasons why they don't serve. At that time, I thought he was a bit harsh, and I was asking myself, is it possible for a person not to yet be a mature Christian until I read verse 14? The Bible says, strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. The Bible tells us that an immature Christian does not exercise his faith. In other words, when you read the Bible, it doesn't have any application whatsoever in your life. Okay? What do you mean by exercising your faith? I'll give you an illustration. We all eat, right? Who don't eat here? Did you eat today? We all eat, right? Well, you all eat, right? Yeah, we ate. When we eat, the food goes into our bodies, yes? Food goes into our bodies, right? As we work, the food is being used to give us strength, provide nourishment, and build muscles, repair the old cells in our bodies, and replace it with new ones. You know, interesting, when I was in Pangasinan in the Philippines, I realized, you know, in McDonald's in Philippines got rice also. Right? I realized, wow, we don't have rice in our McDonald's here. Then I think Pastor Sumatra said, no, because a lot of the Filipinos are farmers. They need the strength. That's why they eat rice. They need, and the rice is sometimes sticky rice. They need the rice to keep them going. Okay? Now, if we eat but don't exercise, does the food become? If we eat but don't exercise, what does the food become? Come on, let's be honest, it becomes fat, okay? Fat, and it's stored. When we partake of the Word of God, we exercise by obeying it, serving the Lord through a local church, reaching out, being kind and loving to our families and friends and enemies. Families and friends and enemies. Okay, that's applying God's word because Jesus did tell us to love our enemies. We apply it by going through trials cheerfully, by the patience that God gives us through His word. When we serve, we get stronger. You don't get a heart for souls if you don't go out. You don't. You can pray about it. Of course, God did say, pray that God will send more laborers, but you won't get a broken hard for souls if you don't go out soul winning. You will not realize the broken families if you will not reach out for them. Some of us are immature. I just state this. Some of us are immature because our bodies and our convenience and our comfort and our peace of mind is more important than some souls who need Christ. Because an immature will not exercise your faith. Some of us do not have control over ourselves. We lose our tempers. We quarrel often. We shout at each other, especially our loved ones. Why? Because we fail to practice the word of God. With all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the word of God. Why are we always arguing? Now, we shared on Friday about how Abraham and Lot, they were arguing about who should have, who should grace the field. You know? And Abraham said what? Lord, let's not argue. No, we be brethren. We be brethren. That should be the underlying foundation. And if you want this part, I go this part. If you want this, never mind, I go this. I was sharing on Friday and everyone was smiling, which is true. In the family, there will be no discord. If you say, if you want this piece of chicken, never mind, I take that one. If you want that meat, never mind, I take that one. You know how we do? I want a soul. Sometimes when we know the person, we quickly take it first before the other person. Say, hey, I want that one. Right? Well, you know what, Abraham and Lot? No, Abraham, a godly man, said, Lord, if you want this part, it's okay, you take, I'll take this one. Lord took the best part. But taking the bad part means he was aiming towards Sodom. And his life was destroyed after that. Why? Some of us have trials and affairs in our lives, and we feel hopelessly weak. You know why? Let me say this. When you look at two strong men like this, sometimes I put myself to shame, but you know, Brother Rolando is probably able to carry Brother Robert.
Last time, okay.
No, when I was talking, he does go to the gym sometimes. I think both of y'all go to the gym now. It's quite obvious. Okay? And, you know, let's say if what's the maximum that you've ever carried? Maximum. Or just, what? Go squat. Huh? Or squat. Squat like that.
200.
Okay? Half squat. Okay. What about you? What's the maximum that you carry? This is not a competition. I just... How much have you? Are you able to squat? At this, right? 200. You? Huh? 600 grams. Pounds. So that means about 200 plus 300 or so, lah. Because 600 pounds, which is what divided by 2.2, about 250. Well, that's a lot. Okay, that's a lot. Can you do it now? Why?
You heard already.
Okay, that's a physical effect, lah. But for them to be able to... Did you start 200 straight? Where do you start first? Bar, what like that?
Or just bar? Or no?
No weights, meaning what? Huh. Or just a bar. Okay, okay. So I don't know the process. So, but... Okay, so you... Would you have to... Would I say you have to increase? Yeah, you have to increase, right? How many of you... this is a very good illustration because for them to carry 600... 250 kilograms, that's three times or four times the size of my weight. For some of you, it's twice only, but, you know. But he said something interesting. He didn't get to 200 kilograms straight away. He had to start with this first, right? Some of you are going through 200 kilogram burdens on your life. Yes? How do you reach that 200 kilograms to be able to manage it? You need to start small. Doing the small things that God asks you to do. Building your strength, building your faith. It may not be overnight that you can overcome it, but you know what? Step by step. Step by step, amen? Step by step. You know what? That's what we're in the church for. We're not here to condemn one another, to encourage one another. Take that small step of faith that God wants you to take. You know? All of us have our stories in life, amen? But you know what? If it's under the blood, God has forgiven it. Let's move on. Take the small steps of faith to grow. Start from there. If you can do 5 kilos, do 5 kilos. If you do 10, do 10. If you do 200, do 200. Don't say, I can do 200, never mind, I just do 5. No, we have to maintain. Because you know why some people... Okay, how many do you think you can do now? How many do you think you can do now? What? Why? Okay, Nira, okay, okay. But how many do you think you can do now? Not okay anymore. Okay, this is just a physical exercise. Bible did say physical exercise profit little. But you're not in your spiritual life. Can I say this? You cannot afford to lose your training. You know why? It is more important. In the physical life, you may have reasons like knee pain. Yeah, it's a real pain. It's very painful. But you know, in your spiritual life, because the Holy Spirit bears you up, and the only way He can bear you up is we submit to Him. But once you get out from Him and don't go into the gym anymore with the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? Your load gets heavier. A baby will not... Can you carry 200 kilograms? Louisa can't. Why? She's young. But can you carry your school bag? Can. Yeah? School bag can, right? Now they don't carry school bag. They drag. Right? Because of back pain and all that. We know as Christians, for Louisa, God would just expect her to be able to carry her own school bag. Yes? 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 You know what, Christians? God just expects you to carry your school bag at your weight. The reasons why some of us are not able to do that is because we don't want to carry. Have you seen students who, once they leave the school, they throw their bag to their mom or their mates? You know what? After a while, you actually get weak. Can I say this? You don't use your muscles or you lose it. Within 3 days, there's a weakening of your muscles already if you don't use them. Am I right? If you don't use the muscles. Now they cannot carry 200. Okay, let's say if your knee is okay, can you still carry 200? No. Half of that maybe. Why? Maybe because of work, he has less time to train. You know, physically, we lose our muscles. What do you think spiritually, what happens? How many of us have struggles we go through, we cannot win? You know what God says? Because you have not your senses exercised to discern between good and evil. You're not using it. You're not serving it. As a result, you fall. When Queen Victoria was a child, this might be in the comfort to some of us. No, Queen Victoria, God blessed England because of Queen Victoria. One of the reasons, okay? And because she honored the word of God. But when Queen Victoria was a young girl, none of her tutors can get her to work. Okay, no, none of her tutors can get her to study. She was so poorly motivated with her study, she'll run around, she won't play. All the tutors and instructors were getting exasperated, were getting frustrated with her, until one day the teachers decided to tell her, Victoria, do you realize one day you will be the Queen of England? Which is true. She was preparing, she was the next in the line for the throne. You know, upon hearing this, Victoria quietly said, if I'm going to be the Queen of England next time, then I will be good. You know why sometimes we don't exercise our faith? Because we don't know the end result. God wants us to be good and godly and Christ-like. But many Christians stay where they are. When was the last time you made a major change in your Christian life in order to follow God? Don't tell me that we're all perfect, because we're not. When was the last time that you were struggling, all I need to do is this? Or that you were, or are you very comfortable that everything is sweet, sweet, everything is nice, really? I don't have to make any changes to my Christian life. We need to be very careful there. As we close, for this, the realization that she had inherited this high calling gave her a sense of responsibility that profoundly affected her conduct from then on. Queen Victoria became one of the most successful queens. It was during her reign and next where England basically colonized many parts. You know, as far as Australia, Singapore, and many of the colonies of the world were during Queen Victoria's time. And you know why? It's because Queen Victoria also honored the Word of God. She read it daily. As we close, I'll just give you one more story. You know that there's this tree. It was introduced by the Japanese. It's called a bonsai tree. Have you heard of a bonsai tree? Bonsai tree. It is measured in inches rather than feet, as other trees are measured. It is not allowed to reach anywhere near its full potential, but instead grows in a stunted form.
The reason why the bonsai tree is like that is because the moment it sticks out of the ground as a sapling, you know it's a bonsai tree, right? You know it's a bonsai tree. Huh? The moment the sapling sticks out, what happens is the owner will pull the whole thing out of the soil and it will tie the main tap root that supplies the nutrients to the plant, stunting the growth. They're not allowed to grow to their full potential. That was what the Japanese did, okay? Thereby limiting the root's ability to grow deep and to take in the soil nutrients for normal growth. This author was saying what was done to the bonsai tree by its owner is what Satan purposed to do in every one of our lives. Satan wants to keep you with a milk bottle of God's word in your mouth for the rest of your life as a Christian. And some of you are following that. I'm thankful that many of us are coming and they want to serve. Christians realize the bonsai tree. Some people, you know, you must in a Singaporean context, you must always think, what are the other things? But the bonsai tree, not so bad. Right? It's a nice decorative piece, right? But you know what? That's all it is. A decorative piece. You cannot use it for anything else. You can't use it for anything else. You know the coconut tree? You know the coconut tree? It doesn't look very splendid, right? Just tall. A few nuts literally around. But you know how useful is a coconut tree? Its fruit is refreshing to drink. You know, many of the things they use for sweeping and I know in Hainan Island they use to carve so that they can sell to make a living. Not very beautiful, not very pleasant as a tree, the coconut tree, but useful for us. We may be a decorative... Are we a decorative priest as a Christian? I hope not. The people will say, wow, so nice, but doesn't touch the lives of people. Paul was a short man. And his speech was contemptible according to the Corinthian church. They didn't like him very much. But everywhere Paul went, the power of God was with him. It's time to grow up as Christians. Now, as pastor, can I just encourage you? We need the image of Christ to be our goal. We need to say to ourselves, as I read God's word, wow, I don't understand how Jesus can forgive Judas. But I don't have to. If he did it, I need to learn to forgive too. I don't understand how Jesus can give his life for his friends. How Jesus can sacrifice for someone else. But if he did it, I don't understand. I'll try my best to sacrifice as well. And just to do the small things that you can. And the little that you do will help you to do a bit more. Amen? The small things that you do will help you learn a bit more too, that you can grow more. It's time to grow up. It's time to stop making excuses. Time to start growing and start moving on and persevering. Can I ask how many of you are happy with your Christian life the way you are? I hope you're not. Can I encourage you to always have a holy dissatisfaction with your life? That say, Lord, I want to just grow a bit more. Lord, I just want to grow a bit more. That's what Paul says. Forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. God puts us together to encourage one another to grow. Yeah, sometimes we will slip and fall, we may stumble. But you know what? When someone stumbles, what do? We know in a marathon race, when someone falls, what do people try to do? Sometimes, pick them up, right? That's what we need to do with one another. To encourage one, let's move on to spiritual maturity. Some of us may feel we are blessed with our growth. The measurement of your growth is never by what we think, but by the effects it has on others. Would you agree with that? That as Christ, if I allow Christ to work in my life, someone else will see the light. Someone else's lives will come to Christ as a result. It's never by what we think. Let your light so shine before men. That's the outcome of the Beatitudes, is it not? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus mentioned Matthew 7:16, the last point. By their fruits ye shall know them. Christians, at the judgment seat of Christ, would you have some fruit to give to Jesus Christ?
Or would you say, Lord, I've always been drinking milk. But if that's your testimony today, let's grow. Let's grow. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to do his work. I pray your Holy Spirit will continuously guard us against, Lord, against being comfortable with where we are spiritually. We thank you for peace. We thank you for the prosperity that we have. We thank you for the lack of conflict, Lord, in our families, in our friends. And we thank you, Father, for the many things that you have given to us to enrich our lives. We thank you for the teachings of the Word of God that have encouraged us. But Lord, occasionally you will just give us the meat teachings to try to get us, wean us off the milk teachings and to get us to be stronger, because meat will strengthen the bones and increase the muscles because it increases protein into the body. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us as Christians. With eyes closed, heads bowed, can I ask you, are we growing today? And I'm sure we are. Are we growing the way that God wants us to grow? If you are a Christian here today and say God has spoken to you, you know, God wants us to grow, and I think you know that. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. God wants me to grow. I know that. And I'm prepared to put in the effort for him. If that's your testimony, say, Pastor, pray for me. Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Amen, I see those hands. Amen, I see those hands. Amen, just put it up and then put it down. And then in your heart and mind, tell God. And then perhaps one or two things you need to do in order to facilitate that growth. Christians don't say we want to grow but have no plan. It's just an ideal, but have one or two steps. Speak to someone, pray with someone. If you have a family, just pray with your husband, your wife, and encourage one another towards it. Is there anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? If you're here today, you're not a Christian. You have never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. And say, Brother Johnny, I've heard a lot. I don't want to commit my life to this Savior who loves me so much. I need someone to share with me the word so I can understand. Is there someone like that who say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I need Jesus as my Savior. Just put up right hand, I'll pray for you. I'll get someone to share the word with you, sister with sister, a lady with a lady, a man with man. Is there someone? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and brothers and sisters who put up their hands. Oh, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will continue to work in our lives, because I don't know what's happening in their lives, but you do. And that's all that matters, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit knows what is happening in those lives. And I pray that you give them additional strength to be able to lift those weights, Lord, to make it to 200 kilograms, that they might be able to bear the struggles of life, they'll be able to bear the things you put on them. But usually, Father, in our training, you will give us what we can handle and build us up towards what we should handle. And so I pray, Father, for everyone who has put up their hands, I ask you to honor your promise, Father, to give them the temptations necessary for their growth. Lord, it's going to be a scary prayer, but I pray, Lord, stress brings growth. I pray for stress in these brethren's lives. The God, that they will learn to put their lives in your hands so that they may grow in the right way. I pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit will move. And that as a church, Lord, we will grow too. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the example of Queen Victoria, who, when she realized in her heart and repented, Lord, of her distracting ways and focused on the fact that she will be queen. And Lord, you blessed her because she honored you first. Father, I pray you honor every believer right now who has made a decision in their hearts to no longer be an immature Christian but to grow. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray the ambassador will always be on the pathway of growth in some way, Lord, whether collectively, whether individually. The Father will encourage us, each other, to do the right thing for your honor and glory. We thank you, Lord. We sing the closing hymn. Help us to press on toward the higher ground. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.